will sing forever of your love from heaven. I once was blind, I could not see. Chain of sin had shackled me, but God in heaven heard my plea. Jesus, Jesus, rescue me. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, rescue me. I will sing forever of your love. Come down with my hands to heaven, shout your praises now. I was lost in darkness when you pulled me out. I will sing forever of your love. Come down. Now grace so sweet, it floods my soul. Hope eternal, I won't let go. My dead erased at Calvary. Jesus, Jesus, rescue me. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, rescue me. I will sing forever of your love. Come down with my hands to heaven, shout your praises loud. I was lost in darkness when you pulled me out. I will sing forever of your love, come down. Well, there's a home beyond the sky. A song we'll sing for all of time. The grave is empty, I am free. Jesus, Jesus, rescue me. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, rescue me. Of your love, come down with my hands in heaven, shout your praises. I was lost in darkness when you pulled me out. I will sing forever of your love, come down. Well, I've been to the river, I've been baptized, I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. I've been changed from the creature that once I was. Redeemed is now my name. I've been changed by a new born. All my life has been rearranged. What a difference it made when the Lord came to stay in my heart. Oh yes, I've been changed. All my sins were as scarlet, they're white as snow. I was bound, but today I am free. I was lost in the darkness, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. I've been changed, I am new born. All my life has been rearranged. What a difference it made when the Lord came to stay in my heart. Oh yes, I've been changed.
Instruments are going to play through this verse. Smile on your face, turn to your neighbor and say, Happy New Year and good to see you.
As it planned to and full, but I Jordan to Canaan's land, where the milk and honey flow. I've been changed, I've been new born, all my life has been rearranged. What a difference it made when the Lord came to stay in my heart. Oh yes, I've been changed, I'm changed. God sent His Son, they called Him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He bled and died to buy my pardon, and in the grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. How sweet to know a newborn baby and fill the pride and joy He gives. But greater still, because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future, and is worth the living just because He lives. And He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own. And
something absolutely amazing has taken place here this morning. Every single person in this church has been to church all year long on Sunday, okay? Isn't that crazy? You get a whole church. That's perfect attendance, man. That is so good. You're in the right place. You're starting the year off right, and I'm glad you're here. I didn't see any brand new faces here this morning, but we have some return visitors. Appreciate you so much being with us. I want to mention for prayer, there's a lot of people we could mention, a lot of sickness, things going on, but little shepherd Abear is, of course, just a couple months old. He is in the hospital, went in the hospital with RSV, is doing better this morning, and everything seems to be okay, and he's on his road to recovery, but he's a little guy, and we want to keep him lifted up in prayer. And of course, we have a couple of people having surgery later in the week. Mary Havens is going to be having surgery. Tony Bishop is going to be having a knee replacement, so you keep those guys in mind this week as you go to the Lord in prayer. But we're so thankful you're here. We're going to go ahead and ask the blessing, and then we'll get back to the good singing, okay? All right, Ruben Perez, will you lead us in prayer, please?
Thank you. You may be seated.
What a God could remember the wrongs we have done, the midst of our glory we cast not their son. Brought into us Savior.
Lead your children to
prayer together. Once again, Father, we're very grateful that we can call upon your name here in your house this morning, be together as a church family. Lord, you gave us a really good year last year in so many ways. Lord, each of us have something to be thankful for. Certainly, we as a church have a lot to be thankful for as well. We trust that you're going to bless this year. It might be a year that throws some curves at us. Lord, it might be some year of difficulty in many ways. But whatever the case is, we belong to you, and your grace is sufficient. You're so merciful and so kind. And Lord, you never leave us nor forsake us. You'll walk with us through everything. And Lord, for whatever blessings come our way, we give thanks in advance. We ask God that you'll help us as a church to be strong throughout this year. Help us to be faithful. Help us to do more for your glory. We ask, Heavenly Father, that you'll bless our visitors this morning for being here with us and make them feel welcome, Lord. Bless the faithfulness of our church family. And Lord, we lift up little Shepherd to you this morning. We ask God that you'll just take good care of him, Lord. He's sick, and I know Mom and Dad and Grandma and Grandpa are concerned. We're concerned, Father, and we just pray that you'll just take care of the little child and get him well, Lord, and get him back home to his family. And Father, there's so many other things we could pray about and give thanks for, and certainly time, you're worthy of it, but time won't allow. So we just ask as we study your word this morning, that your Holy Spirit have his way in leading us. Holy Spirit, that you'd allow me to communicate very clearly, and Lord, have my thoughts lined up, be able to see my notes and bring the message that you've given, and bless the children in the back, and we'll give praise and thanks for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, if you will, turn in your Bibles over to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. One thing that we've always done here at Bible Baptist is challenge you to read your Bibles. The Word of God is where the answers are. The Word of God is where the power is. The Word of God is the foundation on which to build our faith. The Bible says in Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Okay, so there's nothing more important in our everyday schedules than to be in God's Word in some way. Of course, the more exposure we have to God's Word, the better. We have many here this morning that read their Bibles, maybe their New Testament this last year, and I commend them for that. That's difficult. There are many here I know that read the whole Bible from cover to cover through in this last year, and we always encourage that. We have reading schedules on the back table, and when you leave here today, out in the foyer, if you'd like to try that, New Testament schedules and full Bible schedules, if you want to try that. But let me just do this. I'd like to recognize if you read your New Testament Bible through this year, and God gets the glory, believe me, but I think it's important. I'm encouraged by you doing that. So why don't you stand and remain standing if you read your New Testament? But if you read your Bible then, okay, yeah, here we go, your whole Bible. Come on now, I know there's a bunch of you guys. That's good. You read your whole Bible through in a year. Okay, that takes commitment. It's a lot of work, okay? I did it my first time back in the late 90s, and I've made it almost every single year since then. I skipped a couple and did some changes there a couple of years, but it may not be for you, okay? It's to have that kind of scheduled reading might not work for you. It works for me. It gives me structure. That structure keeps me on track. That structure is good for me. It keeps me in all the areas of the Bible, the history and the law and the Gospels and the Psalms and all. It keeps me in all of those things. If it were up to me to read my favorite stuff, I'd probably spend my year in Genesis and Proverbs. And so the schedule keeps me all over the Bible where I need to be, okay? So, and plus, I know myself, I would likely be very lazy without the schedule, and skip days and this, that, and the other. So yearly reading schedule helps me. It may help you. If you want to try it. Whatever the case is, as long as you give yourself consistent exposure to your Bibles. You may be the kind of person that does well on your own, and have your own reading patterns, and that's great. But the challenge is this morning is to commit to making God's Word a priority in your life in 2026. You can't go wrong. You'll never regret it. God will never disappoint when His children dedicate themselves to His Word. I promise you that. That's one good thing as a preacher. You can make promises based on what God says, and go on and know they're going to be made good, because God always comes through with those things. So I encourage you to do that. Now, along with that challenge, I would like to also give you some things to keep in mind as you explore the Word of God in 2026. Things that would enhance your walk with God. Things that will help you establish a stronger spiritual foundation as you go forward. And can you get by without these things? Sure, you can, but you will never do as well as you would if you apply these things, okay? So I want to share them with you. Let me illustrate for just a moment. Because of my background in my work history before I became a pastor, and in even some of my current interests, I have what we call started cults, a number of different cults, and most people say breaking horses. Okay, that's the typical term, but we call it starting cults. And what it is it's taking an otherwise wild 2 or 3 year old horse and making him rideable and usable, making him where he's gentle and you can do things on him and this sort of thing. And the number of cults that I've started over the years would now be way into the dozens. And I've had many people ask me, how do you break a cult? And I always tell them, well, it's not necessarily that complicated, but there's more to it than I could sit here and tell you. You just have to come and observe the process. So like the last couple of years, Baylor's gotten old enough. He's working with me, and he's learned how to start these cults. And now Channing and Sutton, they're coming out, and they're learning and watching, because they got a new horse colt last year for Christmas. And now they're observing as I'm starting Blackie, they call him. And so it's a process. And along with that process, and believe me, I'm getting there with my point, during this process, I do a number of little things, and not just me, people I've learned from and guys that do this sort of thing. I do a lot of little things that on the surface may seem to be insignificant. An onlooker might say, well, that looks to me like that's a waste of time, or if you just leave that out, you can get this done a lot quicker. But the fact is, in fact, the kids ask me, well, why do you do that? And I, along with that, I try to explain the reason and the purpose for why I'm doing it, and I try to help them understand that it will make this horse, it's laying a good foundation that will make this horse better in the end, down the road, okay? And so when Baylor started breaking colts with me, and just the first few colts there, I would watch and I would observe, and sometimes I would catch him taking shortcuts. I'd catch him maybe breezing past some little things in order to move along quicker. And I won't let him do that, because, again, I tell him, you may speed up the process right now, but down the road, there's going to be a deficit because you left those things out. And so I won't allow him to do that. So here's my point in all of this. We can read our Bibles and get by just reading our Bibles, okay? And at the end of 2026, we can say, well, I read my Bible systematically through the year. Or we may even be able to say, I read the whole Bible this last year. And that's not a bad thing at all. And we may be proud of ourselves for that. But if it was just reading and leaving out these things that I'm telling you and I'm going to share with you this morning, you'll never get the strong foundation that God wants you to have if you leave these things out. Things that if you leave them out, there will be spiritual deficits, if you will. And so there's it's very important this morning that there's just a few of these that I give these to you, and you take them home. You might want to write them down. They're not hard to remember. But that take them home and say, hey, when I read my Bible, I want to include these things. Little things, they seem to be, but things that will matter down the road, okay? And let me just make it very clear. These are not complex things, things that only the experts can do, but these are within the reach of every single child of God that wishes to apply them. So let's get to the list. These are simple things that need to accompany our Bible reading in order to build a good spiritual foundation. Number one, while reading our Bible, we must accept its authority. I want you to look at verse 16 in 2 Timothy chapter 3. It says, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness. The Bible is not like any other book. Yes, it's the world's all-time bestseller every year, year after year, and it does sit on a shelf and is sold off the shelf like other books. But what sets it apart from all other books is it has a powerful, all-knowing, flawless author. And everything in it is accurate because of the author. It's the author that looks at it and comes from the perspective of eternity. When he is writing or has the writers of the book put this together, he sees things from eternity to eternity. Now, if I decided to write a book, there'd be a lot of pictures in it, okay, folks? That's just the way it'd be. If I decided to write a book, I would be, say, right now, I'd be writing from the perspective of a 58-year-old man, which would limit me, okay? Furthermore, I would be limited in knowledge as I wrote that book. No matter how well-trained or well-educated any human author may be, they're still limited. God has no limitations. And he writes from the perspective of eternity. He's the author of the book that you and I hold in our hands. And he says, all scripture, verse 16, is given by the inspiration of God. Not just some of it, but all of it. I read a lot of books. I have books sitting around I have books on my desk. I have books sitting by the bed in my house. I read a lot of books, and that's just something I enjoy, and it's helpful to keep the knowledge flowing so I can be a better preacher, and then plus I just enjoy reading. But within those books, with the exception of the Bible, every one of them has a human author that's fallible. And in spite of how much I may respect that author, and I do have some favorite authors, I like the way they write, in spite of how much respect I might have for those authors, there may be certain things that I read and makes me think, it's a good book, but I'm not sure about that one. Or I think he missed that little deal. I don't agree with that, okay? Well, the fact is, if we read our Bibles and we have those thoughts, we're dead wrong. Because God is the Spirit behind the Word of God. He's behind the Scripture, and he is infallible, and he's never wrong. And if we pick up our Bibles not accepting that authority, no matter how much we read, we'll never get out of it what we should. We have to accept the authority of God on the Word of God. What we are looking at, if we look at it with the idea that maybe there's some things there that aren't right. Might be a lot of good things, but some things are. We're looking at it through a very misguided, erroneous mindset. We're looking at it through a flawed lens when we read our Bibles that way. We're receiving it, the Word of God, and we're filtering it through the wrong mindset. You have to know this is God's Word. He wrote it. He's the authority over it, okay? And it's very important. If we have that attitude right now of, there's something. No, we have the wrong attitude, and we've got to get rid of it when we read our Bibles. Sometimes people say, there's certain things in there, I like this, that, and there's, but there's certain things just hard for me to grasp. There's certain things that it just makes me question. And the things in Revelation, what God says is going to be coming, it's just kind of out there. Well, let me tell you, that leads me to the next necessity. as we read our Bibles. It must be done with faith. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Faith is believing and acting upon things that you cannot see or understand. That's faith. You just accept it, whether you understand it or not. There's a lot of things I might not understand about the Bible, or maybe a little bit difficult for me, but I accept it by faith because of the authority of God. I don't understand how a brown cow eats green grass and gives white milk, but I had milk on my cereal this morning. I don't understand electricity, but I turn on the lights this morning and I plugged in my appliances and I get the benefit and the convenience of those things every day, whether I understand electricity or not. Sometime back, I was in a conversation with a person that was convinced of one of the jillion conspiracy theories that permeate our information world today. And as we talked, I said, I don't believe that. And I proceeded to explain why I didn't believe that particular conspiracy. That person's responding argument was, how can you believe the story of a talking serpent in the book of Genesis of your Bible, but you can't believe something like this? Well, the answer to that is very simple. God is telling the story of the serpent in the garden in his Bible. He's the authority. I can bank on it's going to be true, right? That's a long ways. I mean, I might not fully grasp the dynamics of that, what happened in the garden, but I still accept it by faith. That's a far cry from believing what a man is saying on a podcast or the things we're learning from a Netflix special. Man, God's word, you can count on it. I read my Bible with faith, and you need to as well, and I'm sure you do. I don't have to reconcile every little thing in my mind that God has put in this book. I'm a fallible man. I'm not going to be able to reconcile everything, but the author of this book is an infinite God, and so therefore it's true and it's right. Now, we came to know the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. Has anyone seen Jesus? No. Was anyone there when he died upon the cross? No. Was anyone present and witnessed when he rose from the grave or ascended to heaven? The answer to all of those is no. But by faith we accepted that and became children of God. Well, as we continue to walk with him and learn from his word, it also has to be done by faith. Notice verse 15. The first part of the verse, Paul is talking to Timothy in this letter. And Timothy's a young man, and he says, from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which was able to make thee wise. That tells us the importance right there of starting our kids off right and teaching them the Bible. But it goes on down in that verse, and it says, through faith. We have to read our Bibles with faith. Now, here's another necessity. We have to guard against things that may undermine the truths that we're reading about. Notice verse 13. He says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. This addresses an issue that is often overlooked by too many Christians. It's one of the most dangerous traps that we can fall into. On one hand, exposing ourselves to God's word, and on the other hand, giving ourselves exposure to things that push back and resist God's truth. It's foolishness, okay? The key word in that verse that we just read is deceiving. Deceiving means to lead away from the truth. Just as God is the author of truth, Satan is the author of lies. And he will do anything he can to make you and I hear his lies. He wants us to hear them. And the more we hear them and expose ourselves to those lies, the more likely we are to buy into it. He doesn't come at Christians with head on with his lies. He doesn't write his lies in big, bold letters for Christians because he knows He knows that we'll see them for what they are and we'll reject them. What he will do is he will present his falsehoods in very small, subtle ways, so that we don't quickly reject them, but we allow them to be entertained. And he influences us with those lies a little bit at a time. Notice what he says in that verse. He says, evil men and seducers. To seduce something means to draw something away, to entice, to win something over, to lure it. That's exactly what Satan wants to do. It's not an instantaneous event. It's a process of him luring us away from the truth. So let's look at this from practical terms. We're exposing ourselves to God's word here. And on the other hand, we're allowing ourselves exposure to the lies. And folks, there's going to be a certain amount that gets thrown at us. But I'm talking about exposing ourselves to things that push back on the word of God. Here's some examples. First of all, the company we keep. And let me just quickly stress this to parents, how important it is for us to manage these things for our kids. Not leave it up to them to manage, but for our kids. Not only should we teach them the Bible and help them understand the authority behind the Bible and assist them in developing their faith, but we also have to put this particular principle in practice for them. We got to do it for them because they're kids. While we're practicing it ourselves, we don't want to be hypocritical. While we're practicing it ourselves, we help them practice it. The company we keep has a powerful influence on us. I know, because I've been at this a long time, and you have too, many of you. We all know people, especially young people, young adults, that were raised in the house of God, raised in Christian families, raised in the Word of God, made profession of faith, and now they're nowhere near the house of God or the church anymore, and don't serve the Lord in any capacity. And you scratch your head and you wonder, and you find out that they subscribe to all of these different things, that is foolishness of the world, and you think, what happened? Well, I know in many cases exactly what happened. They allowed themselves to join friend groups that had nothing to do with the things of God and that would introduce to them the ideas of this world. Now, we're, as Christians, we're to be kind and we're to be friendly and we're to be salt and light to all the people around us. And certainly we're not rejecting the people because they do something wrong. But we have to make sure we're not indulging in those circles because it's hard on our faith. It undermines our faith. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33 says, evil communication corrupts good manners. Let me just break that down for you. Communication means companionship. The Greek word that is rendered communication means companionship. And then the manners that it says there is moral. So it'd be easy to say evil companionship corrupts good morals. Bible also says in Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 20, a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Folks, we have to be careful who we associate with. Secondly, the entertainment that we allow, the recreation that we expose ourselves. Friends, we have to set a holy standard for that as well, and that's difficult. As much as we like to think some of those things are harmless, if it's sending messages contrary to God's word, it's slowly, that's what Satan wants, chipping away at the foundation of our faith. Also, we have to be cautious about education. Folks, I appreciate education. Probably don't appreciate education as much as others, but it's important. I do get that, okay? But whether it be our kids getting a formal education or us just gaining knowledge, we have to be careful about that. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:21, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good, and abstain from all appearances of evil. You know what Paul's saying there? He says, sort through things. I say, Paul, God's word is saying, sort through things. And if it's bad, call it. And if it's good, embrace it. I will not read material or indulge in teachings that's going to undermine my faith, that's going to chip away at what God has taught me. I just won't do it. And when we were raising kids, we wouldn't allow them to receive an education. It was contrary to God's word. We just, that's the choice we made as parents. What little sway, I say little, hopefully I have a lot of sway, on my grandchildren and their lives today, we would hold that same standard. But think about it. How foolish would it be to make God's word a priority for our lives in 2026 and then allow influences to continue to be introduced that would chip away at that foundation? It would just be foolishness. Now, fourth and finally, and we're going to get out of here in a timely manner. When we're reading our Bibles this year, we should do so willing to accept the boundaries that it sets upon our life. I want you to notice verse 14. Paul says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and has been assured of." Paul's saying, moving forward, Timothy, hang on to what you've learned from the Word of God and the parameters that God has laid down for you. If the Bible is God's Word and we're children, His children, and it's a book from Him to us, don't you think we would be very wise to listen to what He wants us to hear and the parameters, the boundaries that He sets? Wouldn't we be wise to adopt them for our lives? When God sets boundaries, folks, it's not to spoil our fun. It's not to make our lives more difficult. When He sets boundaries for us and parameters for our life, it's for our benefit, it's for our safety, it's for our protection, it's for our blessing. Might be hard at times, but it's best for us. Like most men here, I have a great many power tools. That's one of the great parts of the advancements today, is you have these cordless, battery-powered power tools available to you. It's just amazing. And mine are all Makita, and I have a bunch of them. And there's one particular tool that I have that has proven over the last many years to be the most useful for me. I mean, it's handy as it can be, and it's a handheld grinder. It's a handheld grinder that you can put a cutoff wheel on it, and you can use that thing and cut just about anything. You can cut metal or whatever, and it's just handy to have around. And I find myself using it all the time. But when you buy one, it comes with a guard on it. It's a protection guard. It protects you from getting your fingers or whatever into that cutting wheel. It protects you from getting cut yourself. But folks, when I get one of those, and I've worn out a couple, so each time I get a new one, when I get that, I take that guard off. Why do I do that? For convenience. I do it because when you take it off, you can put a bigger wheel on there than it's designed for. And I do. I do that also because when you take the guard off, you can get in there closer to what you're cutting, and you can cut deeper. Any of you men that's used one knows that. Now think about this for a moment. It's called a cut-off wheel because it cuts things off. It doesn't care if it cuts metal or cuts your finger off. It doesn't. So the boundary or the guard is there to keep it from doing damage to yourself. And I choose to take it off. Why? To make it easier for myself. But here's the truth of the matter. I've got some serious scars that prove that guard was there to protect me and keep me safe. I've got a big old scar right here across that finger. I got a big old scar across there. I got one across my chest where that thing jumped and got me one day. You don't believe me, I'll show you the scars when you come through the line. I'm not making this up. I'm a slow learner. God sets boundaries for us because He knows what's best. He's looking out for us. He wants to keep us safe. And if you're like me, you have had times that you've read His Word and you clearly understood the boundaries, but yet you moved them anyway. Have you done that? I have. And our life, maybe perhaps yours does, has scars to show it. You remember that time you discarded God's boundaries and it cost you and you got the scars. It doesn't work out well, does it? When we read God's Word, not only accepting His authority, but say, accept the authority of the boundaries that He has set and say, all right, God, I'm going to stay right here in this. We'll never do it perfectly. But friends, read your Bibles this year in 2026, systematically in some way, whether it be with a schedule or whether it just be on your own discipline. Read your Bibles through, and not read your Bibles in 2026. Accept the authority as you read it, and Brother David, you guys can come. Read it with faith. Remember, you don't have to understand every bit of it to accept it. You don't have to be able to reconcile it in your mind. Read it with faith and say, all right, I don't understand what God says. It's right. Okay? And stay clear of any and all things that would work against that and undermine that. And then accept the boundaries. I'm going to ask you to stand. If you're here this morning and you've never really given yourself exposure to God's Word, you'll be like me, and here, let me help you out. When I first started reading my Bible, I got in there and I said, oh, goodness. I read through Genesis really well, and I got along with that really good. But then I got into some of the other stuff, the begats and all of this stuff, and I thought, oh, goodness, I don't understand anything that's happening here. And you know what my preacher said so many years ago? I was a young Christian, about 21 years old. He said, read it anyway. You might not understand exactly what you're reading. You'll begin to understand more and more. God will enlighten you as you go. And so if you've never been exposed to your Bible enough, you think, it's just not for me. It is for you. Are you God's child? I hope you are this morning. Well, He's the authority of the book. He's our Father. It's worth reading. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If God's spoken to you in any way, you come.